Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
The Dateable podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show all about modern dating, where Julie Krafchik and I, Yue Xu, are your investigative reporters on why people do the things they do, why they say the things that they say, and how do we deal with it all.
Love it. Yeah, because we're in season 13. I cannot believe it's still season 13. So maybe we have some newbies. Maybe we have people that have been with us since season one. It still shocks me every day that we have been doing this for over 5 years.
I wonder if that's how married people feel. They're like, can't believe we've been married for 5 fucking years.
You might be my longest relationship I've ever been in.
This year, you surpassed my longest relationship. My longest relationship was for 5 years. And this year, we're going on six.
So. Right. We're going on six.
Yeah. You've surpassed my longest relationship.
We are life partners forever.
Well, it's a success story. I found Julie not through an app, but through mutual friends. We bonded over wine, you know, and then we created something very beautiful.
Well, technically we met through an app, kind of.
Not an app, well, but a service. Social matchmaking service.
Yes, that I ran. So it wasn't like you and I signed up for this, but
but it was a success story. And if that service were still in service today, we could have given them a testimonial. Julie, bring it back. 500 brunches. Let's go.
Our first sponsor.
Did you ever reach 500 brunches?
No, I didn't. I did go on a shit ton of brunches. I think this is the way to be. It's just getting out into the world. We had the best story today on our Facebook. I just want to give a shout out to Julia LaSalle. Speaking of being out in the wild, just making shit happen, she was talking about how she was masturbating with blueberry pancakes and a shit ton of bacon. I mean, that sounds like a pretty freaking great master date.
And then you're like, how could this day get better?
How could this day get better? And then some guy's like sees what's going on and was like, hey, that's how this day gets better.
And then got her number and texted her right away.
I feel like our entire Facebook community is going to be out on master dates this weekend.
Yes, with all the pancakes and bacon. Even the vegetarians are like, whatever, whatever. I don't need to eat this.
This is how I find my person. I'm in for it.
I just got to smell like bacon. That's cool. I don't need to eat it. It's all good. This episode, though, is pretty damn funny. A little clue. Fuck boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they fuck you up?
You know what's the best about this? So we had Kane Holloway, who's a comedian, so it's gonna be funny regardless. And we initially came on with a slightly different topic because we were on his podcast, Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers. Both of us were guests on that podcast. You may have heard us re-air some of those in the bonus season. And one thing he started talking about with UA's episode, but didn't go too deep, was about how his current girlfriend made the first move. So we're like, oh, that would be a good topic. And it was. And there's definitely tidbits in here for people. But when we started talking, we're like, nope, this is shaping up to be about why Kate is It is not possible for him to be a fuckboy. Like, how he cannot actually be a fuckboy, which ended up being a way better topic.
Even though he tried, is just not in his blood. Which is also a great way to dispel the myth that men are born fuckboys or they just have these fuckboy tendencies. No, not every guy has fuckboy tendencies. You kind of have to really try. And Kane tried, and he couldn't get there.
So I had some deep thoughts the other day.
Oh, just the other day.
I mean, I have deep thoughts every day, but specifically around the topic of fuckboys. I was like, okay, why? You know, like things that people say about fuckboys, right? Like they lead you on, they say certain things to kind of fall into the trap a bit. Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't have intentions of really being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And or maybe like, you know, jerk you around a little. So you think there's something there and then it's not really as much as you think. So I was wondering, could there be fuck girls? Like, I feel like all this applies to women too. But you never hear anyone talking about fuck girls. Fuck boys is like probably one of the most common dating terms this day and age, but you never hear fuck girls. So I did a little digging and
I like to see Julie's search history this night.
Oh, I don't want anyone to ever see my search history.
What's the female equivalent of a fuckboy?
Yeah, no. So there are, okay, so there were quite a lot of articles in 2017 specifically about fuck girls. Mm. It clearly did not take off. Clearly, right?
No.
So there's one that I found that was 12 signs you're actually a fuck girl. You want to hear some of the signs?
Yes, please.
Okay. The first one is you post more selfies than any other pic.
Okay. Weird.
You text your ex every now and then. I could see this because, like, if a guy was doing this that didn't have intentions of getting back with the girl, we'd call them a fuckboy. Like, that's what people would say. You have your read receipts switched on. I don't know how, I don't get that one. Uses read receipts? My mom tried to get me to do that. I'm like, hell no.
I never do.
I feel like if you were a fuckboy or a fuckgirl, you would want anything but read receipts.
Or I guess it's more like you turn it on so the other person knows you read it and you still haven't responded back.
Yeah.
Just to be an intentional asshole.
That's what it's saying, actually. I'm reading it deeper. The power gets you off that they know you saw it and you didn't respond.
Okay.
Okay. You don't refer to men by their names. I could kind of see this. Like, remember when we always talked about, like, our phone books being the Tinder family?
Yeah, it doesn't make you a fuck girl, though. It just means you're normal, I think.
Well, define normal. But yes, it probably means that you're a serial dater, maybe not a fuck girl.
Or, like, you're trying not to get your hopes up, right?
Yes. You string guys along and you've kept men on retainer. Mm-hmm. So you get attention. I think that one's probably applicable because we would say a fuck boy will keep, like, kind of breadcrumb you, right? To keep you around. You only date men with money. I think that's just a gold digger. I don't know if that's a fuck girl. You've broken the code being with a friend's significant other, cheating.
I see. That's just bad juju.
And then you've left your gal pals or canceled on them just for the D.
That's just called being horny. Your gal pals would totally understand.
But I wonder if we were to like dissect all the stuff that makes, like, I'm sure there's an article like the 12 things that makes you a fuckboy. Would we find reasons to say like that doesn't exist? Or did fuck girls really just not take off because it's not a thing?
I feel like the article is flawed by design because when make someone a fuckboy is not what they do, but what their intentions are. Mm-hmm. And so by saying like, these are things that you do if you're a fuck girl doesn't really make sense because of what's the intention behind
right,
it.
Right.
I do think what comes with fuckboys, their intention is to play games, string along as many women as possible and have women be okay with the fact that they're dating a bunch of other women and they never commit. So if a woman's intentions were that as well, yes, I think that would make her a fuck girl.
Yeah, I know. It's so fascinating. I was like thinking about like, have I dated a fuckboy before? Like
right.
gone on
Me too.
A date?
I was thinking that too.
And I don't know. It's so hard to tell because it's like if you relay something, it's all how you interpret things. Mm-hmm. I think I've definitely been in situations where maybe like I thought it was more than it actually was. But was that because they had ill intentions or was it that they just were confused or testing the waters and like seeing how things were going? I don't don't know if it made them a fuckboy or just part of natural dating in some way.
Okay, well, I think that's very much related to our question, right? Okay. The question that we've been getting since Fuckboy Island is so popular right now. Some people may not have had experience with fuckboys. So the question we've been getting recently is, how do you know when you're dating a fuckboy? And so maybe this is a great time for us to answer this question, but I also want to pull up this text my friend just sent to me. And she said, my therapist told me you're used to picking up crumbs and making a beautiful cake, but you deserve more than crumbs. You deserve the whole cake and still intact cake. And I think that's what it is. A fuckboy gives you crumbs, and maybe mm-hmm. they're delicious crumbs, but they don't give you the entire cake. And so you're constantly looking to bake a cake out of the crumbs that they give you. But a true gentleman, a true nice, kind person would give you their whole cake and it'd be delicious from the get-go. So I think what makes someone a fuckboy is that they never give you their whole self because mm-hmm. they're spreading their crumbs everywhere.
Yeah, I think what also makes someone a fuckboy, we said it before, but intention. I think this is a big one because someone might give crumbs because they're in a place that they're unable to be in a relationship. And you could argue, True. Are they a fuckboy? Are they not a fuckboy or fuckgirl or not a fuckgirl? Because at the end of the day, the result is the same. Mm-hmm. But I do think there is not a malicious attempt. Like attack. Like if someone mm-hmm. is being upfront and honest and, you know, they're like, I do care for you, but this is happening or whatever is going on in their lives. I think that's a lot different than someone just falling off the face of the universe and then hitting you up at 2 a.m. when they're free.
Yes, right. And along the same lines, I think fuckboys are very honest too, because they they want the power dynamic of telling you the truth and still having you stick around because of it. So even if you watch Fuckboy Island, I know Julie does not like that show that much. I'm okay on that show. I was really into the first two episodes and then I'm like, all right, they're all fuckboys. But the men there on there are self-proclaimed fuckboys. So if you just ask someone straight up, would you consider yourself a fuckboy would say, yes, I am. Yeah. Do you still want to date me?
Or they tell you, I don't want to be in a relationship. They're super honest, but then they keep pursuing you anyways. I've definitely been in situations like that. At the end of the day, it comes down to yourself. And if you're going to stand for that, like if you really truly are in a good headspace yourself, you're probably going to be like, I don't want that. But I think totally. The honesty in a way, I do think it gives the power dynamic, like you were just saying, but it also kind of like clears someone's conscience a bit because they're like, yes. I told you what I was looking for and exactly. you're still going along with it.
Exactly. Exactly. So they can't blame, you know, there's no blame on anybody because I told you the truth. I let you know.
I think another sign is how they respect you in public.
Yeah.
If you're out with them and they're hitting on other people in front of you blatantly, or I hate admitting this, but I had someone make out with someone else in front of me and they said it was because I wasn't giving them enough attention.
Oh, and I'm like, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, this was years ago, many years ago, but this did happen. And I think in a way, I think that is a fuckboy, because if someone that isn't a fuckboy would have that conversation in a way that wasn't trying to like mess with you with that.
Yep. Yep. And there comes this feeling of winning with a fuckboy as well. I definitely dated one in New York because he was all about winning girls over. And when he met me, he was very straight up. I have a girlfriend, but I'm very attracted to you. I really want to spend some time with you. So, of course, stroke my ego. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Maybe he'll leave his girlfriend for me. That never happens. And then what ended up happening was he would only see me at like 3 a.m. or, you know, 2 p.m. on a weekday and be like, oh, do you want to go get tea? No, we're just fucking whatever. But I thought that was his way of building a relationship. And this went on for over a year. And he had different girlfriends the entire time. And he would bring them out in front of me. He would bring them out. Here's my girlfriend. I'm like, cool, whatever. I'm trying to be the cool girl. girl in all of this. And then at the end, I was like, oh my God, this is what my self-worth is now for this guy who has quote unquote tea with me on a 2 p.m. on a Monday. Like, fuck this shit. But I let it happen because he never lied to me. He was like, I have a girlfriend. No.
I love how we start off like, have we been with fuckboys? And as we're talking, I'm like, all these memories are coming back. And I think both of us, current day, would not. Some of that is growth, right? But I think a big piece of it is in your earlier years, sometimes you're, you know, you think that's is how people are. Like, I think especially as women, we think like that's how men are trained. I remember I have, God bless, I have this one group of friends that never knows any of these like dating terms. And they were like, what is a fuckboy? And I was like, it's basically a player of our generation, you know? But in like Cosmopolitan magazine and like all the bad books we read, I feel like that's what you expected men to be like. A lot of us just accepted those crumbs because we thought that was the dynamics that you were expected to accept.
Remember
this guy once, we were, you know, hitting it off, and he's like, I'd really like to take you on a date. And I was like, great, I can't wait. And he's like, I don't think my girlfriend would like that though.
Oh.
I'm like, then what? Why are you bringing it up? Like, why? So sleazy, you know? But it does take, like your friend's therapist said, getting to that point that you're like, I want someone that's like all in and can communicate like an adult and doesn't do weird power dynamics. Who wants that at the end of the day?
That's the fuckboy right there. He is not on this mainstream path. He's sort of like only sees you off hours. He makes these very like from left field comments so that it catches you by surprise. And you're like, ooh, he's giving me special attention. Mm-hmm. Maybe he sees something different in me. Maybe I can change him. And then you got to think, damn, that poor girlfriend who has to deal with this guy.
But they can change. I mean, we had an episode of last season. Is it the timing or the person with your friend?
Jesse.
And he was definitely a reformed fuckboy that changed his ways. I think, though, the key was he did it.
Yeah.
Someone,
she,
you know,
did
like,
not change
you,
him.
It's not your job to change this person. They need to want to do it themselves.
And she had to move on with her life first.
Yes. Yes.
Before he realized that he wanted to change. But you're never going to be able to change someone. They just have to do it themselves. And fuckboys very well know they're fuckboys. And they only want to change when they want to change their identity. And you can't push that along. So just leave them the fuck alone on Fuckboy Island.
Yes. But you know, you found a keeper like in this episode with Cade when someone actually tries and they can't do it. That's the best sign that that's a keeper.
There should be like a fuckboy training camp, and then all the dropouts, we match them up with nice girls. It's like, send this text at 2 a.m. And one guy's like, I just can't do it. That would be amazing. Like, you, get out of here. You're not cut out to be a fuckboy.
That's the next Fuckboy Island.
Are you a fuckboy? That would be the ultimate competition. It's like American Gladiator. This is like American Fuckboy. Yeah, anyway, if anybody wants to buy that show, please give us credits.
We are commissioning it. We're ready to go. But Yui and I have been hard at work this week.
Oh,
I feel like
gosh.
I think we're a little delirious right now because this has been a killer week for the two of us, but we have something so exciting in store. We're not going to say too much because we, you know, we'll reveal it when we're ready, but I think it's going to really, like, I think people are going to love it, and it's going to greatly impact a lot of people that are listening to this podcast on a weekly basis. And it's almost been like we needed these 5 years to get to this point.
And we've been working on this for 5 years, and recently we felt like this was the right time to do it. So we've been heads down, really focused on working on this thing that we're about to launch. And let's just say we cracked the code on something. Okay? We cracked the code.
We'll leave it at that.
This is the bee's knees, if kids still say that these days. Like, this is it. If there's one thing to look for this year, this is it. And we can't wait to launch it. But we can't launch it just yet.
I just want to bring back the bee's knees also.
What does that even mean?
What we're launching and the bee's knees. Those are the two things you need to stay aware for in 2021.
The bee's knees. You just, whatever. Whatever that
these
means.
Knees.
We'll figure it out. Let's get into some announcements, shall we?
Yeah, we had a great kickoff to Sounding Board 2.0 the other night. Mm-hmm. We did our first office hours coffee chat. Still working on the name, but I think you get the point. You basically get to pop in and ask UA and I any question that you have that's burning, or listen to other people's. This is in a group format. The whole piece of the Sounding Board is to have this supportive community. And I was blown away by the types of questions. They weren't like basic, annoying questions about dating. Like, there were some really meaty ones, but also things that everyone can relate to. Like, there was one that was said that I think everyone in the room was like, yep, been there before.
Mm-hmm. It's like group therapy in a way. And it's okay if you don't want to share. It's okay if you don't want to talk, because you just learn so much by listening to other people share their own experiences. And I'm also impressed by how open and warm and kind everybody was who went to our office hours. So it creates such a safe space for mm-hmm. anybody to share or just to listen.
Yep. And we are going to be starting up in September more of focused conversations around some like just really hot topics that a lot of people are discussing and wondering about. Like, since we've been doing this now for a while, we're starting to see the trends of the types of things that people want to dive into a little deeper. So we'll be doing that with our fabulous team of hosts that are little Datables in training. And we can't wait to kick that off. So if you want to get into the Sounding Board, we will have one more month at the initial rates, and they will be going up in September, on September 1st. So definitely get in on it now if this is something you've been thinking about. It's a great opportunity, great community. What also warmed my heart when we did the office hours is a lot of the folks were like, I've been in here since day one.
Yeah.
This has made such an impact for me. So it was really nice to hear. We had a mix of new people and some of the people that have been here from the day we launched. So I thought that was really great to hear.
Yes. So get all the information at datablepodcast.com/soundingboard. A lot of you have been joining our Facebook group saying that you keep hearing about the Sounding Board on our podcast. Well, you're not going to stop hearing about it, because this is all we're really going to talk about. We truly believe in this idea of community and a curated, smaller, intimate community. So check it out. I mean, if you're just curious, check it out for one event or one happy hour, and let us know your feedback too. And speaking of feedback, you can always give us feedback through Instagram. Follow us at Dateable Podcast. We're also on Twitter. We're not as active there, but same handle. And we're also on YouTube. These videos that Julie and I do that we put on makeup for, might as well just pop into YouTube, watch like 2 seconds and be like, okay, that's what they look like.
Exactly. You can see so much different dynamics than just our voices. I know life would be easier if we didn't even have YouTube, but we want to do it because it's nice to be in front of you all.
And it gives us an opportunity to, you know, get ready and yeah, not wear pajamas. And you get to see our recording environment.
Yeah.
You
know? Life could be kind of weird if we were just never seeing anyone and we were just constantly, just our voices were out there. Like, we could be wearing anything at any time.
People can imagine anything they want. Maybe keep it better that way, you know, just imagine whatever you want that we're wearing, like onesies.
Yeah.
Or bunny suits, whatever.
So we record it every week.
Onesies, because it's not hot enough.
Go to YouTube and find out.
Go to YouTube, yes. How about every week we change up the onesie? So you have to go to YouTube to find out what it is. How is that for a teaser? And just a last reminder is, it really helps us when you give us reviews in Apple Podcasts. We had a guest recently tell us that is exactly how her manager booked her on our show, because her manager looks at how many reviews a podcast gets, and the more reviews you get, the more legit you appear to be. So if you can give us 5 stars, write a little nice blurb, we really highly appreciate that, because that's what helps us propel and grow in a direction that we wanted to go.
Yeah, and this guest was killer. This has been someone UA and I both wanted on the podcast for, I would say, at least a year now. She is phenomenal. We're going to have that episode coming soon. And yeah, this is what makes it happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Apple Podcast, 5 stars, give a little blurb, and we will send you all the kisses. Please.
It's karma for your love life right
yes.
there.
Yes. Yes. Do you feel that through your headphones right now? Just all the karma and the kissy is coming
all
your way.
All the kisses. Okay, let's dive into our sponsors this week.
I am all about self-care these days, and guess what? Body care is also self-care. Taking care of your body is a moment to practice mindfulness, self-love, and compassion, all things that I am fully behind right now. That's why I'm so glad to share a promo from one of our new sponsors, Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo that provides instant firming hydration and delivers a full body glow. It makes me feel so confident and refreshed to walk out the door with unbelievably glowing skin. And there's nothing more I love than getting premium skincare products at an incredible value. So, show your skin some love with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide and use the code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
This episode is made possible by Lugs. Amidst the golden age of the 90s, Lugs found its footing as a leader within the footwear and fashion space. Priding itself on quality materials and supreme comfort, the brand never wavered with the passing of trends. Whether you remember the brand's early appeal within the hip-hop culture or the countless celebrity endorsements, one thing remains the same: Lugs' distinctive style. Julie and I both have a few different styles of Lugs shoes, ranging from their iconic boots to their canvas sneakers. Even though they're so different in style, one thing remains the same: they're all so comfortable and light. I love my flirt high zip boots that I can wear with cute summer dresses, and my canvas sneakers go so perfectly with my jeans and t-shirts. Fun, comfortable, everyday wear, realistically priced and affordable. So go treat yourself. You can never have too many pairs of Lugs. Exclusively for our beautiful listeners, get 30% off full price items now by going to lugs.com and entering the code DATEABLE. Again, that's lugz.com and entering the code DATEABLE for 30% off full price items.
Okay, so let's hear it from Kane about how to fail at being a fuckboy.
It's so great to have you on our show, because both Julie and I were on your show, Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers, otherwise known as DTBFF. Yes. You and your co-host were so nice to us that we thought we would, show the same kind of hospitality. So Kane, if you don't know about Kane, he is 34 years old. He's a comedian, co-host of Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers podcast, right, and Well Actually Pod.
Is the acronym WAP for that one?
Yeah, we just changed it. We just changed it to WAP. We were so excited when that song came out. Because you know what? Frankly, I don't care for it. Feel like...
Have you seen the music video by chance?
Yes.
My gosh.
It is aggressive.
So, Well Actually Pod is not really WAP, but it has the same acronym.
No, yeah. You're not going to get WAP listening to that show. It's very nerdy.
And if you do, then even better, right?
Yeah, it's good. Well, yeah. No, if you do, then we're your podcast, but you might get DAP.
A dry ass pussy.
Yeah.
Or dope ass pussy.
Dope, yeah.
Yes. I got it, right?
Right.
What were we doing? We were introducing Kane, right? Before we got on this conversation. Like, what was this episode about? So Kane is 34, originally from Seattle. He lives in LA, but he's currently in Seattle for a few months. He's recently in a monogamous relationship. And what is interesting is that you were divorced during the pandemic and dating for the first time in 8 years, figuring out a new relationship. Yes. That's crazy. Crazy turn of events.
Yeah, that was a weird time for me. That was a weird time.
I bet. We definitely want to get into your current relationship. But I guess before we do, can you kind of take us back before you met your current girlfriend to what kind of dating was like coming out of that divorce in COVID times?
Well, it was getting back into dating after an 8-year long relationship when you don't have to worry about meeting people. You never downloaded the apps, and then to be thrust into it. And on top of that, COVID. So now there's all these new rules that the dating community is already aware of how dating is. Like, I'm mm-hmm. out of the club, so I'm coming in learning all the new dating rules, on top of which they're making up new rules because of COVID. So I gotta know mm-hmm. how dating is and now what dating is like during COVID. it was weird because, like, a few girls, like, I'd go fly and see my family, and then I met someone on Hinge. And then when I came back to LA, I was living in LA, I got a COVID test, and then we were supposed to meet up. And then, like, later on, she was like, oh, do you want me to get a COVID test? I'm like, yeah, it's...
Yeah, it's COVID times.
Yeah, you're COVID, like, if time. I'm getting one, you're getting one also.
Get a COVID test. I don't. Why are we even doing this? So it was. It made me think too. Like, you gotta really, really like someone mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. get back in your car and then go to a deserted parking lot and sit in line in your car and then get a swab up your nose. Than to just go have socially distanced coffee with a person. That is a lot to ask of somebody. And I just was like, I don't know if I like anybody. I don't know if I can like anybody right now enough to want to do that all the time. And then, like, take COVID out of it. I don't know if I want to put pants on in general to go meet.
Who said you had to put on pants to go on dates?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to.
I can imagine the culture shock, though, if you've never dated before. It's been a while. Like, when did you get married? How old were you when you were actually dating before getting married?
I don't know. I was, like, in my early 20s whenever we met. And we just sort of, we went really fast, too fast. Mm-hmm. And then because of that, like, this, like, we hit it off and the spark was so, like, it ignited so fast that we were like, oh, let's just keep it going. Let's just, let's do all the things. It's kind of like a great lesson I had to learn, you know, I'm still applying to my life, but, like, at a certain point with a relationship that starts off really, really, like, on fire like that, where you're just, like, going, the relationship can kind of turn into a goal checklist where the relationship by itself isn't enough. It's what are we reaching towards next as a couple? Like, what are we succeeding at as a couple together? And then you get to the wedding. I canceled the wedding a couple times. Like, we got engaged much earlier. Like, we got engaged like 3 or 4 months into dating each other.
Oh, wow.
And then we couldn't stop fighting. So I cut it off and I said, we shouldn't get married. I think that's a terrible idea. So we took it off the table for a while and we kept coming back to it. So eventually we got to it. We didn't have that conversation again when we really should have, when it was like, I think we as a couple just have grown apart and the wedding isn't the saving grace. And that's sort of what the wedding kind of was. Like, you don't really think of it in that term. I mean, at least you try not to. You just kind of hope, like, this is okay. Yeah, we're making the right decision. But we just didn't have that conversation of, like, hey, I think we've just grown apart, kind of.
How long were you married for?
6 months.
Oh, really? So you were in a relationship for almost 8 years before you got married. Mm-hmm. Wow. I feel like so many people can relate to that, because in relationships, a lot of times we work towards these milestones at the expense of the relationship, thinking that we have to accomplish these milestones to get that seal of success on our relationships. But then when people get married, when they have kids, when they get into the house that they built together, they realize, oh shit, we never worked on our relationship, the foundation of our relationship. And then it starts falling apart pretty fast.
Right. And we were both comics. And and the thing is, it's like, so we're, like, gone a lot. And, you know, there's somebody, Seinfeld, there's a Seinfeld episode where Jerry describes a relationship, and he's actually talking about Elaine has this relationship going with a neighbor of hers where they're on a waving basis. Like, they don't actually know each other's names. They just, like, wave at each other. And then all of a sudden, like, the waving went away and it was a polite nod. And then the nods went away. And now there's, like, she's like, there's this animosity between us and it's based out of nothing. And Seinfeld's like, a relationship is like an organism. You starved it and then it turned against you. And that's a pretty good representation of what we were doing. We don't hate each other and we ended very amicably, but at a certain point we were just like, there was an animosity that we couldn't really figure out what, like, there was no substance to it. You know, it was just like, it was like holding a balloon you don't want to hold. And you're just like, there's like nothing, there's really, you know, there's nothing to it. There's nothing exciting about this balloon. It's not floating. It's not going to give me a high or anything right now. It's just like, so what are we doing? And that's when we had to pop the balloon. I hope that made sense.
So you walk out of this relationship and you basically have no dating experience. I mean, I think 20s to 30s is a whole different ballgame of dating. So you're back in it in COVID. Were you like, before you met your current girlfriend, were you dating anyone else, or is she kind of like the first person that's kickstarting this?
I dated a couple people, and it was just something. A lot of my girlfriends were trying to turn me into a fuckboy. They were like, yo, it's time. It's fuckboy summer for Kane. You've been like, you've been the nice guy. And it's time to just like get your dick wet, dog. And I was like, all right, I mean, I guess so. I don't know what I have to do to accomplish that as a goal. And they're like, don't get attached. And I'm like, all right. But then I go on these dates and I start asking them all these personal questions. And they're like very open to tell me everything about their life. And I'm like, oh, fuck. All of a sudden, I'm like, they're not the piece of meat they're supposed to be. They're a person, and I can't just fucking dump a person, you know? And I just realized, like, I just don't have that in me. You know, I slept with a woman, and then after she left, I was like, I have no emotional attachment to her. And then I was like, I think I got to end it. And I'd never felt that before. Like, I'd never, ever felt. Or it's not that I haven't felt that before. I just haven't felt it in such a long time to just be like, oh, I don't want to see you again. And now I feel awful. And I got to go return. She gave me Harry Potter. I've never read any of the books. So I was like, I had to go give her book back. like we were in middle school. And I was like, as I'm breaking up with her, she's like, we're not together. And I'm like, I know that, but I don't know, like, I don't know what to say I don't want to continue this. And so I basically say we should just not see each other. And she's like, yeah, that's fine.
She's like the fuck girl of this situation.
Yeah.
She's like, what's your name again?
Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, who are you?
Oh, she's like, I got 10 of those books. You can keep it. Give it to every guy I sleep with. Consolation prize. You're welcome. Peace.
I'm like, where's the bathroom? She's like, it's on the left. And I go right, and there's just like, I open a closet to all the Harry Potters. How come you only have Sorcerer's Stone in here?
And she's got pictures of all your headshots, like you're one of them. She's like, with a check mark next to it. Done that one.
She's like Dexter.
But for fuck girling.
A little vial of my semen inside the book as a bookmark.
I just love it though. You're like, this is gonna break her heart. She's like, I don't care.
I really don't care. I think it's interesting that it was your girlfriends that want to turn you into a fuckboy. It just shows how toxic masculinity bleeds into so many other areas of society. Because I've done the same for my guy friends. Oh, you're going through a divorce, you're going through a breakup, go fuck some women, you'll feel better.
Yeah, back out there.
It doesn't make you feel any better. And I think it's good to know that you're not innately a fuckboy. Mm-hmm. You actually have to try to be a fuckboy.
Yeah.
You would not survive on Fuckboy Island. I don't know.
They'd know right away I wasn't a fuckboy. They'd know immediately. I engage and then I feel really terrible because I'm like, these feelings aren't reciprocal. Like, you know when someone likes you more than you like them. Like, you can just feel it inherently. And I just kept feeling that feeling of like, this is not going to be reciprocated at all. Mm-hmm. And like, I was fooling around with a girl trying to like, okay, all right, let's see if we can just like have meaningless sex. And I even told her, I was like, you know, I'm getting out of a thing and I'm not really looking for anything like too crazy or serious or whatever. And she was like, yeah. And then we started fooling around. And then I was like, I can't. Like, I don't want to do that again. I've already done this twice where I sleep with someone and then I'm like, I feel nothing. And now I want them to leave. And I feel like shit for like 2 weeks. And maybe it's just like some ego thing I'm not realizing of just like, did I break her heart or whatever? I just like didn't want to keep having the breakup conversation. So I just was like, I don't think we should sleep together. it's not gonna happen. I'm not really into it. And it's just like, I'm not there. And she's like, okay, that's great, because I don't want to sleep with you right now anyway. Like, I would want to build up to that. I would want you to be my boyfriend first. And I was like, oh, then we definitely should not be sleeping together.
Definitely end of the road for you, miss.
Yeah.
So Yue knows how much I love timelines to like pull the story together. Like, how many months after the divorce is this like fake fuckboy stage of yours?
It was 3 months afterwards. I was like on a walk with one of my friends, and she was like in a new relationship, and like, you know, they were COVID forced to be inside together, and she was like, yeah, like we got our own like struggles, and I think right now you just need to go out there and just have a ton of meaningless sex and stuff. I think that'll be good for you, and it'll help like boost up your ego, broken heart, that kind of thing. And I was like, all right, I guess so. And then she's like, send me pics, send me like, let me look at your bio, let me look at pictures of you. Mm-hmm. I'll sign off on the pictures that you should. So I'm like sending her pictures of me like with my niece drawing and shit. And she goes, no, dumb, you're trying to attract sluts. You're trying to wife somebody up. Yeah. Yeah, so no kid pics. And I'm like, okay, I don't know, you know. And so
dick pics only.
Yeah.
Just dick pics. Oh, no, dude, kid pics, was, just dick pics.
Just your dick, or just you clean shaven. And then people were like, is that a dick? Yeah. And a couple of my girlfriends, like, and they all like know each other, so they're all talking about me, and then they're together refining my Tinder and Bumble and Hinge profiles, and then they send it back all these pictures. This is your profile picture, these are your next few pictures, this is the fucking tagline you should say, here's what should be in your bio, all right, go out and get laid. And then I was like, okay. And just like everyone says, it was awful to sit and try and talk with anybody you matched with. Mm-hmm. And if you had a connection with somebody, it truly didn't matter if I was like, look, I'm not looking for anything serious. It felt like, hey, I'll change his mind.
Yeah. Mm.
And I was like, I'm kind of not budging on this. I can't be in another relationship this soon. And then it would explode. Or not explode, it would just end.
This is so profound to me, just because it says a lot about modern dating. Because you spent 8 years of your life trying to attach yourself to someone in a relationship, when most daters who are single spend most of their single life trying to detach themselves from people they date. They don't want to be invested in, you know, with their feelings. They don't want to be the first one to say, I want to be in a relationship with you. So there's that, it makes sense why you were feeling this way and why you felt like you couldn't be participating in this sort of like detachment, because it's just not who you are.
Yeah, I kept running into really cool girls, like one girl we liked and disliked every movie. We had the same ideas across the board about movies, and like I love watching them and talking about them, and we'd spend hours talking about movies and shit. And I'm like, she's really cool and she's really pretty, and I bet she'd be a dope girlfriend.
Mm.
But I cannot do this. I just
timing
can't do it. I can't be this girl's boyfriend. It's not, I can't do it. And then that just kind of kept happening, where like I went on a date with a girl who I got ghosted. That was funny.
You have to do it at least once in modern dating, right?
Yeah.
It's initiation.
Oh, it was so funny to get ghosted. I also, because I'm always like aware of if I'm in someone's space and if someone's touching me, I'm just very used to being like, oh, I'm sorry. So I'm like, I'm on this date with this girl, and under the table she keeps putting her foot on my shin and rub, like,
oh, giving you the footsie,
giving me a footsie under the table, and I kept being like, oh, excuse me, and moving my shin away. I had to like have, she went to the bathroom, and then I kept replaying all those moments, and I'm like, you are so dumb.
You're like, I am missing all the sides.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick break from this hilarious conversation to hear a few messages.
Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so you did get a taste of modern dating. Like, how long was this period that you were kind of cycling through people, dating, but not really like looking for anything?
That was a couple, that was maybe 2 months, 2 or 3 months also, where it was just like, let me see off and on. I'd look at one of the apps and then see if I had a message and if it was worth getting into. And my thing is like, I don't want to sit for too long talking or waiting for your response. And I know that that's a tactic people use where they'll respond to you and then it'll be days later. And I'm just like, I don't know you or care if you spend 3 days not talking to me. The thing pops up. There's nobody beautiful enough to deal with that shit, I realize. Like, you are not hot enough to keep me fucking on the line. I don't know you. Like, right. And then I get to know women, and then I'm like, oh, they would be cool, and I don't feel it in my heart. So you could keep me on the line and try and push me off to the side. So some guy that's going to be like, oh, I have the type of charm where I don't need to talk to him for a few days. No, you don't.
No,
you do not.
Although, I don't want to burst your bubble. It may be a tactic, but it also could just be a byproduct of dating apps, because I definitely have just not checked my app for like 3 days at a time.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And but like, one of the girls I was talking to, it's like we were getting closer and closer to making plans.
Okay. Okay.
And I would put out a like, yo, you want to go grab dinner or something? And like, we could go here. I'd give her options, and then
nothing.
And we were just texting each other, and then a couple days would go by, and then it's like, oh, hey, I had this thing anyway. Yeah, dinner sounds great. And I'm like, dinner came and went.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, so she was playing that game. Once it goes to text, it's that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, dinner plans are over.
Yeah. I don't need this. I don't need this shit. And then I was also sort of surprised at the bare minimum. I found out the bare minimum is an impressive feat in dating. I was supposed to have a FaceTime with a girl, and then plans changed, and I was like, oh, I have like a different thing going on, but I would love to talk to you after the fact if you can't do later tonight, tomorrow. And then she texts me, and she's like,
WAP. She's like, wow. Full WAP.
Yeah, full WAP. Full WAP. She's like, wow, you're not like LA guys at all. This whole like diatribe about how like she's impressed by my candor. And I'm like, that's basic human decency.
Basic shit.
You're like, I rescheduled a time for you.
Yeah. I was like, what the
on
fuck
FaceTime.
Is happening?
Yeah.
What is happening in the world? I wasn't like her date to a wedding. I was a fucking, it was just a FaceTime.
You know what though? I feel like sometimes women are like kind of told to say stuff like that, but I hear how it's coming off just kind of like, wow,
right.
You must be treated pretty fucking bad if that's what you are doing.
When you're so jaded so much. And I think our listeners must be laughing because they've heard us talk about this film idea we've had where an alien comes down to Earth to date. and to uncover right. all the ridiculous things that happens in modern dating, you are literally our alien right now. Because you're like, yes. what the fuck is wrong with people? This is just common sense.
It was such a weird experience to be like, this is what you do to just be a polite person. It's what you learn very early in your life, just how to treat people.
For whatever reason, I don't know why, dating feels like people just can do garbage behavior, like it's acceptable
and get away with it. Yes.
Yeah. And what other world would that be acceptable, if you just, you know, bailed on plans with like an employer or something?
Yeah.
And just didn't contact them to reschedule.
Oh my God. Yeah. And it's such an easy, and what's funny too is on Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers, we'll get emails in, and we were getting these emails in before the divorce, and so, you know, I was looking at these emails about guys ghosting our female listeners and how like they'll drop off for a few days. Both Greg and I are like, fuck him and block his number and move on. Then I rethought about it when I was getting into dating, and I was like, all right, if that happens to me, now I'm in their seat. So what is that mm-hmm. going to feel like? And then mm-hmm. it happened, and I was like, yeah, fuck them. I didn't know them. The thing about all relationships, any relationship, is they previously weren't in your life and you were doing just fine.
Exactly.
You were rolling around the streets, living mm-hmm. your life. You were going to work. You made money. You have friends. And mm-hmm. you had family, you had traditions, you have all this shit without them. And then they go into your life and all of a sudden the rest of your world shuts down because you're just like, they're not talking to me. Well, fucking then kick them to the curb and go back to what your life was like before they rolled in to try and fuck it up. Fuck them.
Especially these people that you met for like an hour. And I know sometimes easier said than done. I think it's always easier giving this advice when you're not in it than when you are in it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like sometimes we let people have just too much power over us your point. It's like, you met for an hour. Who the fuck cares about them? Like, save it for someone that's going to really hurt you, you know?
Yeah.
And what we hear from our listeners is that most of the time, they don't even like that person. All they want is to win the popularity contest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want validation. Sure, they like me. Yeah.
Ego. It's ego driven.
Oh, yeah. And there's nothing cooler than someone just being like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, I'm back. Oh, you were? I haven't thought about you for a week. Do you want to get together? No, I don't.
Yeah. Well, the way I look at it is they're making room for the right person. They're stepping out of the way, making room for the right person. And that mm-hmm. kind of leads us to, you made it on the other side. Mm-hmm. You've met someone now. Can you kind of share, because you guys did not meet on an app. Can you kind of share the story of how you met?
Yes. So Greg went on Girls Gotta Eat, and which is a show out in New York, and I'm sure your listeners have heard of it. And
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
And Greg, for anyone that is not familiar, hopefully they listen to UA and I on your podcast, but he is Kane's co-host. And we're going to have him on the podcast later, too.
Gregory Barrett, wonderful person, wonderful man, very funny, very helpful dude. Helped me get sober. One of my best friends. Love him to death. And Greg goes on Girls Gotta Eat to talk about the days of He's Just Not That Into You, when he wrote the book, sort of how it came about. I won't spoil that here. I'm sure he'll retell it here. And there's also the Girls Gotta Eat episode. Mm-hmm. But he also wrote on Sex and the City. And so he was talking about Sex and the City, and that episode aired. Our numbers exploded mm-hmm. out of nowhere. And so I was like, all right, let me listen to the show. So I listened to Greg's episode, and I was like, that was funny. Let me listen to another one without Greg. So then I started listening. As the show is going, I'm like, who's the short one who's like very, very bubbly. Sexual,
very bubbly,
very sexual, very bubbly, very funny. And then she said her name, and I was like, okay, which one's Raina? So I went on mm-hmm. Instagram, and I looked her up.
Got a stalk on Instagram.
Yeah.
She's easy to stalk too.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. She's hot. And she's funny. And she's got a great laugh. And she's got a great voice. Cool. I think I have a crush on this girl. And that'll be something I put on the shelf. And that just sits on the shelf. And that never materializes ever. And then it was like a couple months later, Greg was like, I hit up Raina. She's coming on the show. And then we'll get Ashley afterwards. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, crush.
Oh, no. I don't want this to happen.
You didn't want it to happen?
No, I didn't want Raina to come on because I knew I'd get nervous.
Oh.
And I knew I'd be like, I wouldn't be funny or charming or... It's my show, and I'm like, I'm going to bomb on this episode. I can feel it.
Wow, pressure.
Yeah, and if you listen to that episode that Raina comes on, Pat told me after the fact, like a couple weeks later, he's like, dude, I had to cut so much shit.
Pat's the producer.
Yeah, Pat, yeah. My producer, he's like, I had to cut you just babbling.
Nervous talk. Yeah, I love it.
Nervous chatter. He's like, what was wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Just having an off day. Don't talk to me. So on that episode, I started asking her questions because once I announced that I was single and our female listener base grew,
mm-hmm.
I started to get DMs on my Instagram, and I didn't know how to deal with that. And I just like one girl was like, one girl sent me a picture of her ass, and I was like, right on. And I sent her the
right on good
thumbs
for
up
you.
Emoji.
Yeah, I sent a thumbs up. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I have no idea what it was like to.
You
like,
can't be a fuck boy. We've already established this.
Yeah. So now I'm just like getting these messages, and I'm like, I don't even. And girls are. We do an episode on dick pics, and I'm like, I've never sent one before in my whole life, so I don't know what to. I don't know like what angles to do. And then I kept getting messages like, send one in gray sweatpants. And I'm like, I started asking her these questions. So I'm
oh,
like,
oh, that's how you got your in with her. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
oh.
If I were to be with someone or talking to someone and they ask for a dick pic, A, do I send it? And B, what do I send? And should I send it in a gray sweatpants? And she was like, okay. And started breaking it down what I should do and how she likes it. And then she had like a bunch of funny stories of different times she got dick pics sent to her. And then we got done recording and she was like, hey, if you start to actually take some in gray sweatpants, send them to me. I'll verify that these are good. Yeah.
I'll let you know if they're good. Yeah.
She has like her wall, the Dexter wall.
She also has a Harry Potter
that's
closet.
A savage move. Right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, it was
send
pretty
me your
baller.
Dick pics. I'll let you know how they are. Send me your yeah. dick pics. Stranger.
I don't know, but I'm still kind of picking up like, at this point, are you like, this is someone I want to pursue? Because I don't know how I'd feel if someone was, you know, it sounds like you guys are kind of having like friendly banter. Mm-hmm. I know some of it was on a podcast, mm-hmm. so there's some of that going on.
Right.
But like, you know, the exchange of men and women kind of like asking each other for advice, it doesn't necessarily scream like I'm into you. Sometimes people right. interpret it the opposite.
Yeah. And we got done recording and then it was like a few hours later. I had posted a picture of me with my other podcast co-hosts saying like the face you make when you're the third wheel, because they're a couple. My other two podcast co-hosts are a couple. And she sent me that picture on my DMs and was like, you know, if you were sending more gray sweatpant dick pics, then you wouldn't have to worry
Ooh,
about this.
Good so, line.
Yeah.
Whoa.
This, I remember being like, this isn't happening, because I had crushed on her from afar and sort of like in my own mind thought that that's not real. Mm-hmm. Like that'll never be a reality. So when she started talking to me, I was like, this, she doesn't like me. She's just being nice.
Mm.
So then I call my girlfriends and they're like, I like she's not into me, right? She's just being nice. And I sent screenshots of our conversations. And my girlfriend goes, do you know, are New Yorkers like just known for being nice people? Do you know them? Is that the stereotype?
That's a very great question.
Yeah.
Great
I was like,
question.
I was like, I guess not. He goes, she's like, you're so dumb. Why are you so thick? This girl likes you. Stop it. Like flirt
she's,
back. Just flirt
she's
back.
She's playing virtual footsie with you. And you keep yes. saying, excuse me.
Yeah, keep
Sorry.
Fucking yeah, trying to get away. So I send her my number, and then we start talking about the Food Network because she's a big food blogger, and then we it just sort of progressed from there, where I just periodically would send some dumb sentence that she didn't know how to respond to, because I'm just nervously trying to figure out how you flirt over text. And then she said at one point, she was in Miami, and she was with a friend, and she took a picture of a basket of puppies. She sent that to me, like, "Hey, look, a basket of puppies." And I said something stupid about COVID that was like, "That's proof COVID is like almost over or something." And she was like, "What the fuck does that mean?" Then she looks at her friend. She goes, "What does that mean?" And then the friend goes, "I have no idea." Like, who says that after a picture of puppies? And so they're like, "Oh, he obviously isn't into me." But then I could sort of feel it going away.
Mm.
So I started to be
send
a little
the dick
more
pics.
Aggressive. Yeah, I just sent my dick.
Be a little more direct. I feel like I wouldn't know what those texts meant either. Like, I think you're always like, is this person into me? And, you know, it's someone you're obviously into. But I think when things aren't clear and it's kind of these like ambiguous texts back and forth, that's when things either fade out if people don't step it up a notch, mm-hmm. or both people are just kind of like, what is going on here?
Yeah. And I finally was like, "Hey, let's, you want to have a phone call?"
Okay.
And she was like, "Yeah, sure." So we scheduled a time to talk on the phone. And then we talked for about 5 hours on the phone.
Wow.
Yeah. And the time difference between LA and New York, it was like, by the time we started to the time we ended, it was 2:30 a.m. her time.
Holy shit.
And I had like the rest of the night to myself afterwards. So then she woke up the next morning and I was like, "How are you?" I text her like, "How are you feeling today?" And she was like, "I think we should break up. I can't do this anymore."
She kind of gave you like bait. I would say she didn't make mm-hmm. like the full first move. She gave you kind of like that, you know, permission to come and make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, she was very, very, you know, like, we talk about sex, we talk about whatever. She like kept the conversation rolling, and I just sort of felt kind of unsure of myself. And that's how I knew I liked her, mm-hmm. because before I was very, very sure of myself because I just didn't care. And like, I didn't care that any conversation with these women would progress into anything. So I was very much myself and said whatever popped into my head, no matter how weird it would be mm-hmm. and seem or whatever. This time around, I genuinely hope that I'm not fucking it up, and I'm fucking it up. I keep like stumbling over things and sending texts that don't make any sense, and then I'm all like in my head about it. Eventually, when like we jumped on the phone, I could tell like, oh, I can be. She made me feel very comfortable right away on the phone. And I was like, okay, I don't have to worry about being cool. Because I was just trying to be cool. That's really all it was. I was trying to be intriguing.
But mysterious.
But she was already talking to me. So it didn't make any sense.
I feel like she dropped more than hints, though. Because think about it. This is a girl who co-hosts a really fucking popular podcast. She's mm-hmm. so well known on Instagram. She lives in fucking New York. What is she doing wasting her time talking to you on the phone for 5 hours when there are millions
obviously
of other men
she's into it.
In New York? I mean, I just see the writing on the wall. It's like, obviously mm-hmm. she's into it.
Right, right. I thought maybe not. I thought maybe she just wasn't.
She just wanted like a virtual friend. You
yeah,
know?
She's just like, she's just like... Yeah, I think I might be fun to talk to, I guess. I don't know. So
how did it like progress into more that you both were kind of like, this isn't just us shooting the shit on the phone?
Raina and Ashley were going to Miami to do the improv. My mom lives out in Florida, so I hit them up and I'm like, and she was also drunk texting me one night and she was like, "I'm going to be in Miami if you like want to come out to a show." And I was like, huh, all right. And so I talked to Greg and then I talked to my girlfriend and they were both like, "Hey, man, if COVID has taught us anything, you know, basically the life is too short conversation." Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, all right, fuck it. So I bought a plane ticket to Miami and then I told her I bought it. And then she was like, I guess had like a little bit of a panic on that end. She was like, "Oh, I was just being cheeky." She was like drunk texting me, so she was like, "Oh, it'd be kind of fun if you were in Miami." And then I bought tickets, and she was like, "Okay,
just kidding."
Yeah, that's a lot. So instead, she was like, "How about I come out to LA first, and then if we hit it off, Miami is a good idea."
Oh,
she didn't realize you were incapable of being a fuckboy. So yeah, she's like, "I'll throw that out there. He won't really do it."
Yeah, exactly. And so. And she came out to LA we were talking a lot about snacks when we weren't talking, like having sex in innuendo conversations. We talk a lot about the best type of snacks, and her favorites are Cheez-Its. She had a pretty shitty, and I told her about Tim's Cascade jalapeno chips, which is a West Coast, mostly Seattle chip company. It's the greatest chip on the planet Earth. And she's never heard of them because they're not out in the East Coast. So she has a really bad flight experience getting out to LA. So when she finally lands, she's like, hey, I'm going to take a nap and like recalibrate. Then we can meet up. And her hotel was right next to my apartment. So I'm like, all right, now that I have all this time, more time than I thought I was going to have today, here's what I'll do. I'll go out and I'll get her Cheez-Its and jalapeno chips. And then I'll ask her if she likes flowers. And rather than give her flowers, I'll give her these snacks.
Cute.
Sort of like a cute, funny thing. And then I see her, she opens the door, and I'm flustered and nervous. I was nervous before I went out there. Then I see her and I'm like, oh fuck, it's even worse. But I have this bag behind me. And I go, hey, do you like flowers? And she goes, you didn't buy me flowers. And I was like, no, I didn't. I bought you Cheez-Its and jalapeno chips. And she was like, thank God. Oh my God. I was actually very worried that you, being like a good person, were probably going to get me flowers. And I was like, how do I pretend that I like that he got me flowers? Because I feel like he's a guy who's going to get me flowers. And I've actually been dreading the idea of you coming and getting me flowers. And I immediately was like, I would never get you flowers.
Yeah, I was like, how is this romantic gesture becoming unromantic right now?
Yeah, she's like, I just like, yeah, I can't get flowers from you on the first date or whatever. So we kept joking about how I'm like, okay, great, I'll just never get you flowers then. And not to brag or nothing, but I'm a really good flower picker. Like I can get a good bouquet going. And I'm like, but you'll never know. Because I'm just never going to get you flowers. It'll just be a cavalcade of Cheez-Its and jalapeno chips.
Always.
So then when I go out to New York, she goes, do you like flowers? And I'm in her apartment. I go, no, I don't like flowers. And she bought me flowers.
That is so cute.
Yeah.
It's always good to have these like running jokes, though. Yeah. So, okay, so this might be a hard question to answer.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think it was the person or the time or a combo of both?
I think it was a combo of both. I think her schedule, her show schedule, like going on the road and theaters and all the comedy clubs that she would have been doing had there not been COVID, she probably would have been more unreachable. So it would have been a lot harder. But now that we had like nothing but time to talk and get to know each other, I think the timing was sort of fortuitous, and then it lend itself to sort of build on a relationship from afar.
What about your time though? Because you were in a place of like, I don't want a relationship. I'm trying to be a fuck boy.
Yeah.
How did you kind of? What do you think about your timing with this whole thing?
Well, I had after one of the last girls, I just was like, I'm not gonna date anymore. Like I have no interest. I deleted all the apps immediately, and I was like, I don't, if I'm going to meet somebody, it's just going to be organically. I don't care that much to manufacture a meet cute on these apps. So fuck it. I can wait. And then we did the podcast like a month later or something like that. Yeah. All right. At least been a full year, maybe some change after the breakup.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, I had stopped it. I was like, no. And then of course, you know, they always say once you stop looking, it finds you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of what happened, where I was like, I'll just meet somebody organically, fuck it. And then that's what happened.
And also you didn't meet under the context of dating.
Right. Yeah.
So there was no pressure.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And that was my whole idea for meeting somebody new. It's like if we hit it off through happenstance, cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But trying to build myself up on this shit for it only to like fall apart because I can't get my head around it. Because also it doesn't feel meeting them in person after meeting them on the apps didn't feel real. Like when we connected, I didn't feel anything. And then when we'd be in person, I'm like, this is the same kind of feeling where it's just like, yeah, I'm talking to you, but I have no real, like, none of that great dating energy you need when you're excited about somebody.
But you did kind of realize from apps that you, at the core, are a relationship type of guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it sounds like when this came in, you obviously were super into her, clearly had a crush on her before you even met.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, okay, at this point, like, I'm going all in with a relationship, or were you kind of wavering with that still?
I wanted to make sure that I was not moving super fast again.
Mm.
So whole thought process is, you know, still, because it's still a new relationship, is like, because, you know, a lot of people, and I think a lot of couples, especially young couples, have a tendency to meet someone they feel knows them like no one else, because, you know, of course you're attracted, so you're just fucking all the time and you guys are like eating food. I think Christopher Titus has a funny, he's like, all you're doing is fucking and eating, I think. and then so you're having like these deep long conversations, and so you're like, no one gets me like them. And then you're like, we should move in together. We've known each other for 2 weeks. We should move in together because you're my soulmate. Then you move in and then you're like, why do you put garlic salt on everything? I didn't know that about you. And look, it's not a big deal, but if you do it again, I might cut your fingers off. And then you have these big blow up fights out of nothing. And then you make up because you're young and you're just moving too fast. And then you have another blow up fight over nothing. And I don't want to repeat that. And so my entire idea is like, hey, we met long distance, getting to know each other. And, you know, as the space between us gets smaller, I don't want that to go away. So if we get to a point where we move in together, I don't want to fight about garlic salt. You know, I want it to be, if we're going to argue, it's going to be about whatever real issue is going on.
Yeah. And I kind of want to bring this back to this idea of making the first move, because even when I was on your show, that listener had a question about, as a woman, should I make a first move? And I think so many women think about that because we think that if we do make the first move, it's a power dynamic that now the man has all the power, or that it sets it up where the woman has to make all the moves now in the relationship. What would you say to all the women out there who are debating whether they should make the first move or not?
You really have nothing to lose. Because like I said before, your life is what your life is without them in it. And then they're new and exciting and they pop in and you want to progress. And if that's what you want, and no matter what kind of hints that come around, no matter how many hard hints you drop, if the guy seems like he's not getting it, or he's sort of, or you're in what feels like a friend zone, I would just say, like, just be blunt. Because and once you do that and they say no, then you go, oh, they weren't into me. And if they say yes, then great. Because not every guy is going to make the first move. They might be like me, really, really into you, but also like a little unsure of themselves.
Right.
Like, are they into me? And I'm, you know, I got...
Clueless.
I'm a little clueless. I am a little clueless.
With dating. I mean, you. I think that is a good point, though. It's like, you don't ever know what the other person's experience is. This was your first kind of like back into dating as an adult. And, you know, like, you didn't have all that experience to read every last signal and to make all that. So I think someone that's not making the moves could potentially miss out on someone really great that might just be like a little, you know, not as polished, I guess, as other people, which usually ends up being the boyfriends, not the fuckboys.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I don't know a lot of fuckboys. I know most of my friends who are dating, they just like, they want a relationship and it doesn't seem to work out, or they're looking for something. So I don't run with a lot of fuckboys, or at least I'm not aware of them as such. But a lot of my single guy friends kind of go through a similar thing where they'll put in, like, my buddy Jay has a funny thing where it's like, why do I have to always have a good line? You know, I always have to have some sort of fucking fancy line that I got to throw out there. It's like, that's why I like Bumble. Because if they hit me with hi, then I can just be like, hi, that's all you got? Like, the amount of times I've heard women be like, that's all you got is hi, is, you know, so there's like having like a fancy line or something. It's like when people say, like, what do you say? This is how I feel about talking to people when in dating. Same way I feel like talking to hecklers, like being heckled. People will ask me, like, do you have a stock line? It's like, no, I don't actively write heckle comebacks so I can be funny. It's just like, hey, if whatever comes in the moment, I hope I'm fucking funny when it happens. And I hope I can destroy at that moment and make it funny. And that's how I feel about talking to somebody on the apps or talking to somebody in person. It's like, why make up a line that they can judge as good or bad? Like, if it's shit, then they're going to be like, yikes, dog. But if it's good, they're still going to be like, wow, that was a good one. And now you're being judged on your ability to write material so you can get in their pants. It all feels materialistic in a way. Like, dating can be very materialistic. Well, what did he say? Well, he had this line where he asked about if my ass hurt because I came from heaven. And it's like, boo, did you fucking have a conversation about something? Or did you guys just want to fuck? Did you even get to that point? It's a maddening process that I didn't spend a lot of time in, but enough time to get annoyed at it very quickly.
Well, I think to your question of, like, does it have to be like this forever? I think in today's world, where a lot of women, myself included, want an equal relationship, I personally would not want a guy that I couldn't text first. Because what type of relationship does that lead to ultimately? So I think having, you know, making that first move or putting the ball in that guy's court and just letting them know that you're interested, I don't think it needs to mean that, like, forever you're always going to be the one doing it. You're really just getting something off the ground.
Yeah, I think we need to stop muddying the waters with all of these should we, shouldn't we. Do I talk to the guy? What do you want? I think you need to always ask yourself in this moment, at any moment, what do I want? Do I want to talk to them and tell them that I like them? Because that's so fucking exciting when you're just like, shit, I want to tell them that I have a crush on them. Mm-hmm. And the moment you do, you feel very liberated, whatever the reciprocation is later on, because you're gonna be alive after the fact.
Yeah, it's about taking control. Instead of waiting for someone to express their interest, which we still don't really know what that could look like because some of us don't understand certain signs. So why not take control and move things forward? I used to be that girl who was like, I can't be the one making the first move because I've had guy friends tell me that I lose my value if I do that. And then I turn around and I go, I wouldn't date any of those guy friends. Like, those are the places I want to date. So why am I asking them for advice? Who cares what they think, right? And that's why they're still single. So I think that piece of advice is so great for all of us to hear is, what do I want right now? And what can I do in this moment to get what I want?
That's a really good segue into our takeaways, because I feel like, I mean, there's so much that I've gathered from this whole conversation. And, you know, we always say a lot of it's an evolution. I think it's actually good that you use the dating apps. And I'm very pro dating app. I met my boyfriend on a dating app. Like, it can definitely happen. Mm-hmm. But I do think, especially for someone that's kind of getting new into dating, it's a really good way to be exposed to a lot of people and learn what you do like and what you don't like and kind of get you over that hump. So like you said, the right person comes around and you know, like you're like, I'm ready for this person. I'm ready to kind of make something more. I've gotten that fuck boy, fuck girl energy out and ready to move on. So it's all a process. And in general, like we're saying with the making the moves and stuff, so many times no one's making any moves, just it's action. Like, you know, action goes further than ego. And I think that's so important because so many times when we've let ego get in the way, just nothing happens.
Right. You know, it's so funny too about any of those guy friends that have that advice that's really kind of shit. Later on, you see this happen all the time where those type of fuckboy guys and those sort of alpha male dudes will end up in a relationship with a woman who doesn't take their shit like that. Right. Who would never listen to that advice if their husband or boyfriend gave that to them. You see that all the time where they just like, they're like, yeah, I used to be like this and then I met her and, mm-hmm. you know, the dynamic sort of changed. It's like, I didn't lose myself as a person. This is just, we get each other and mm-hmm. I don't feel like I need to play some mind game on her and I know she's not going to do it yep. back to me. Nobody wants to feel like they're being manipulated. And once you find that person that makes you feel like you can be yourself, then you will look back at the person you were and like, I can't believe I'm with this person. But it makes so much sense. It would mm-hmm. make so much sense at the time. You don't even think about it when you find a person that just makes you go, I can be me.
I think also people always ask, I don't have that much dating experience. Am I at a disservice? I almost think you're at like an advantage because you don't have this jaded behavior. We're talking about just the bare minimum. And I think people shouldn't succumb to like doing that and playing these games. And, you know, I think we always say it's like, fuck all these rules that were told to us. They're not going to help you. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people feel like they need to game dating and figure it all out. And like you were just saying, at the end of the day, it's all about being yourself and staying true to your values and being the good person. Like there's no reason why we should just turn to shit humans because we're on dating apps.
Yeah. Yeah. Because yeah, that's what we do. We have something that seems kind of cool at first and then we try to fuck it up. So
of course, yeah.
Just rise above that.
My biggest takeaway from this conversation is thanks for reminding me that modern dating has become where being in the negative is the norm. And then somehow mm-hmm. when you are a status quo, that's like the most amazing thing in the world. So I would take away from this conversation is challenge everyone out there to add an extra 10%. In addition to meeting the minimum requirements of being a good person, what's that extra 10% of bringing Cheez-Its and chips mm-hmm. on a first date instead of flowers? I feel like that's the extra 10% that even if the relationship doesn't work out, the date doesn't turn romantic, you have just made someone's day by just adding an extra 10%. And it's the least we can really do. So mm-hmm. let's stop living in the negative. Let's go in the positive.
Even the bare minimum is just not being negative. Like right. you see right. so much negativity of people complaining about dating and all the stuff. It's like, just bring a positive attitude. At the end of the day, people are looking for someone fun to be around and mm-hmm. a breath of fresh air. And we always say, if you're complaining to your friends, likely that's seeping into your dating life too.
Right. And it's always sort of like you can find a positive out of a negative. So like you try and shoot your shot or you do something kind of goofy or silly, or you try to be yourself at dinner and it doesn't get reciprocated at the table. The positive is you get to go back and tell your friends what a shit date you had. And mm-hmm. then you know how like funny bad dating stories are? The amount of times on our podcast someone sends us a story about how like it just fucking went awry, and yeah. the amount of joy that we get hearing that, especially if it's like a close friend where they're telling mm-hmm. you a story and you're like, yo, I cannot believe that happened. That's hilarious. And you get to like live that experience and then go, all right, on to the next one.
I just remembered something that you said, your podcast, because Greg had a bit of a part to this story too, right? Your co-host Greg kind of
yes.
had an like he thought that you and Raina were going to hit it off and had her come as a guest mm-hmm. almost to set you up.
Right, without
so
telling me.
I feel like a takeaway too is to, you know, have your friends' backs. It sounds like you've had a group of friends throughout this whole process, some maybe giving better advice than others, mm-hmm. maybe some questionable fuckboy advice in there.
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, that is how people can get through this period too, is having friends that are looking out with them, whether that's someone to vent with so the negative energy doesn't come out on dates, or having someone that's like, that person's going to be amazing for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of slyly make it happen.
Yeah. And all those girls too that tried to turn me into a fuckboy were the same girls that were like, this girl's into you, talk to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like,
yes, they gave you the confidence. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just trying to help good advice or bad advice, you know, and your friends know you in a way you don't know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can never fully really know you. And you can, and they can never really fully know you, but they know you in their outside view of you and your actions you're not aware of. They see that shit. So then in their mind, they go, ooh, Kane's like this, Raina's like this. That kind of seems like that fits perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. and I'll you just be in your head running around and all of the I don't know. Trust me. Just shoot your shot and see what happens.
Yeah, they probably knew when they were suggesting you to be a fuckboy that you just weren't ready then too. So they probably were looking out for you then, even though it might sound funny when we talk about it. But yeah, it was probably coming from a good place too.
But PSA to those friends, because I've definitely been one of those friends, is at any given time when you are giving your friends advice, we have the opportunity to give them advice to turn them into good people or to steer them mm-hmm. in a direction of good instead of bad. So mm-hmm. if you truly believe that your friend is going through heartbreak or going through something and you want them to get out of this place, maybe encourage them to go to a retreat or go mm-hmm. read this book or listen to this podcast versus go fuck as many women as you want, right?
Right.
So I think we can all take that responsibility.
Right. Roadkill, as UA calls it. We don't want roadkill along
because
the way.
The women that gave you that advice, they sure as hell don't want to be the roadkill of the fuckboys who
no.
girlfriends gave them that advice, right?
That's true. Yeah. Like if I walked up to them and tried to just hump and dump, they'd be fucking so mad at me.
So mad.
They'd be so mad at me. But they gave me that advice anyway.
Right.
It's very funny.
We're,
yeah.
Like we're conditioned to think that way. We're conditioned mm-hmm. to tell men that. You know, you heard this from kids, men who reminisce about the times when they were kids and their aunts would come over and be like, how many girlfriends do you have? And that's like a thing. It's like, oh, you're so cute because you have like 5 girlfriends. Because mm-hmm. we condition that in society. And I think mm-hmm. we can take responsibility to end that cycle.
Yeah.
Fuck mm-hmm. the fuck boys. That's how the fuck boys are created, from little ants. From ants. Yeah. No, from their aunts when they're little. That's what I meant to say. Not little ants.
Oh, from their aunts. Yes, their aunts. Oh, ants are very, very, they push that. They do definitely push that narrative. Like, oh my God, he's going to have so many girlfriends.
So many
Look
girlfriends.
How cute he is.
He's going to be trouble. You know?
Oh my God. Yeah. He's a little heartbreaker. He's gonna ruin her life and her life and her life.
And then the girls later on is like, fuck, he did ruin my life.
He ruined my fucking life.
What do you know, aunt?
Way to go, Aunt Becky, you fucking asshole. I lost half my shit. I married your stupid ass nephew who broke my goddamn heart. I told you he's a little heartbreaker, isn't he a little heartbreaker? He's 35 and he took all my shit and my dog.
Please do a bit on this. Fucked up ants. How my aunt fucked me up for life.
Toxic ants.
We're giving you material. So, Kate, let our audience know where they can find you and your podcast.
You can find, if you go on iTunes or anywhere, you look up just DTBFF, which stands for Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers, or DTBFF Podcast, which you can follow on Instagram. And you could follow me at Kane Holloway on Instagram. And you can go to KaneHolloway.com. I have show dates up there for upcoming shows. And that's pretty much... Oh, I have a special and an album out. One's on Spotify and one's on my YouTube channel. And you can check out those. I think, they're both for free on those platforms.
Thank you so much, Kane, for being on our show. Thanks for having us on your show. Thank you for showing us not all men are capable of being fuckboys.
This is true.
We'd have to really try to be one. Refreshing to hear that. For all of our listeners, what really helps us is when you give us a 5-star review rating in Apple Podcasts, because it helps us get guests like Kane, who isn't a fuckboy. So the more stars, the more reviews we get, the closer
the
to 5 stars. The more fuckboys die, okay? That's a promise. For each 5-star review.
If that is not an incentive to rate us right this minute, I don't know what is.
Oh, I know. The fuckboy, the soul in a fuckboy dies, and then a suit appears. And a little bow tie gets clipped onto their throat, and then they go and they try to live a respectful life.
Every Apple podcast rating at a time. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of gym memberships just died right now.
All the dick pics disappeared from the universe.
Just a lot
off
of them.
The cloud right now.
Yes,
miraculous.
Oh yes, it's flying away.
Every time you give us a 5-star rating, a dick pic gets its wings. Okay, it flies away.
That's right, Clarence.
Oh my god. On that note, we're gonna wrap this up. Thanks again, as always. We will definitely have you back in because we can keep this conversation going, and of course we want to check in how things are going with you and Miss Reyna over there. Let's wrap it up.
Stay dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all of those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.